areas and small towns in Wisconsin have been trending more conservative and more Republican. For example, hundreds of smaller communities went for Barack Obama in his two election campaigns than went for Trump in 2016 and 2020. That's not just Wisconsin. States around the country are seeing similar trends in rural communities. So what's going on? How do we account for this ideological divide between more rural and urban parts of the state? How are the Democrats and the Republicans responding? You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you listening from a rural part of the state? What do you see going on near you? Do you talk about politics in your neck of the woods, or is it a difficult conversation to have? Do you feel like things are divided or united on one side or the other? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Anthony Chergosky is an assistant professor of political science at UW-La Crosse. His specialties include American and Wisconsin political campaigns and elections, political communication, and mass media. Anthony, welcome back to Central Time. Do we have Anthony? We will reconnect with Anthony, it looks like. In the meantime, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Why do you think there's a big divide between rural and urban communities, a growing partisan divide based in part on geography? If you live in a rural part of the state, what do you want to hear from either party or both parties? What do you think they're missing about your community? Do they pay attention to you at all? Call 800-642-1234. Anthony Chergosky is with us now. Anthony, welcome back to the show. Okay, I think we got you now, Anthony. Hi.
All right, there we are. Nice to be with you, Rob.
That last one was on our end, I know. Now, Wisconsin not alone in this trend, rural voters turning more toward Republicans, conservatives. Big picture, what are we seeing with trends in Wisconsin around the country?
Well, Rob, I think you make an important observation that the rural-urban political divide is not unique to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. We've seen this widening gap all around the country, where Republicans are gaining ground in rural areas, Democrats are continuing to build their support in urban areas. But there is a unique aspect of Wisconsin in this urban-rural divide. And Rob, it's simply put that Wisconsin has a more intense urban-rural political divide than most other states. The urban-rural divide is particularly pronounced in Wisconsin. The urban-rural divide has widened before it widened in other states, and it really structures politics in Wisconsin to an extent that it doesn't in other states. So, sure, the urban-rural divide is present in all states, and urban-rural politics have always been an issue in the United States, but here in Wisconsin, it is particularly strong, and I would say, Rob, that it is a defining feature of Wisconsin politics, the urban-rural political divide.
Okay, why Wisconsin?
Well, a couple reasons, Rob. First, Wisconsin politicians have been particularly aggressive in exploiting the urban-rural divide. We've seen politicians in their campaigns and in their rhetoric try to pit urban areas against rural areas for the purposes of winning elections. Some of this has come in the form of saying, hey, this other party has forgotten about you in this geographic area, or we're going to serve your area unlike the other party. So what has happened, Rob, is that the geographic divide in Wisconsin now overlaps almost perfectly with the partisan divide. And when you have two very strong divides overlapping like that, the incredible partisan divide and the incredible geographic divide, when you have two very stark lines of division overlapping, that is a recipe for some serious conflict.
A couple of articles lately have looked at this, not just in terms of the vote counts, though that's a big part of the story, but about life in rural communities for the few remaining Democrats there feeling like nervous about expressing their political views publicly, feeling ostracized in their communities. It's not just the voting, it's that the Democratic brand is seen as an outside force in some ways in a lot of communities. You tweeted about that. What do you make of things at that level beyond what the final vote tallies are?
Rob, this really reflects the extent to which the urban-rural divide is about identity politics. By that, I mean how political party has become baked into people's identity. So when we hear about the intense partisan conflict in rural areas, how people are hostile and how there are uncomfortable conversations, that does not just reflect a policy divide between the parties. It reflects a more fundamental identity divide where political party has become so important to people, it is now part of their identity. There is strong evidence in political science to show this, that it's one thing to say that I align with the Republican Party or I align with the Democratic Party. But now what we're seeing is people saying, I am a Democrat. I am a Republican. It's part of their identity, just as their geographic area has become part of their identity. Whether they're a rural resident or an urban resident, that has become baked into their identity. So the reason this conflict is particularly vicious, in my view, is that it's not just a policy battle. This is about people's sense of identity. This is about people's sense of who they are. And that leads to some really uncomfortable situations, some real political hostility.
Talking to Anthony Trigosky, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW La Crosse, looking at the political divide, the urban-rural divide, especially in Wisconsin, and focusing on rural Wisconsin in particular, moving conservative, moving Republican. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Lots of callers. Let's bring them on. Eric is with us in the Village of Endeavor. Eric, hi.
Hey, how you doing? I live in rural Wisconsin, and I'm surrounded by Trump signs and Trump 2020 everything. My next door neighbor's had his flag at half mast since November 3rd, 2020. He has got hand painted Biden sucks signs, and and he's still adding bumper stickers to his truck. It's kind of interesting.
Eric, you referring to other people as Trump supporters? Do you fit in there? Do you feel like, are you on one side or the other? How does that all affect you?
Well, I was a registered Republican most of my life, but a few years ago, I started looking into things a little more. And let's say I didn't vote for Biden, but I did vote against Trump. So, yeah, I voted for Biden.
Eric, thanks for the call. Thanks for sharing your story there. Anthony, Eric pointing toward not just everybody around him is a Republican or Trump supporter, but very vocal and visual about it.
And Rob, that is exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about identity politics. You know, people wouldn't be so vocal about their political points of view if they tended to support one party or another just because they kind of agreed with one party's policy stances or they kind of aligned with one party's ideology a little more than another. But now, which candidate people support is a fundamental feature of who they consider themselves to be as a person, and which political party they support is a fundamental feature of who they consider themselves to be as a person. And we see this in rural areas, especially where people are identifying themselves as rural residents, that is a part of who they think they are, and that their political party affiliation is a part of who they think they are. That's the same thing going on in urban areas, but to the caller's point, it can make things uncomfortable for those who don't quite fit in with the crowd in these geographic areas.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Bella now in Racine. Bella, hi.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Bella?
Well, my comment is that I am total agreement with what is being said, and I'm in the scene. It's a mixed bag, and I think that I formerly twice disgraced the leader in charge, gaslit what a lot of people are feeling in various places as they see times change. More people of color are moving into suburbs and rural areas, and now all of a sudden there's a fear. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. And you don't know who your neighbor is going to be. In addition to the complicated factors of these areas, I lived over near Dodgeville. These areas have very limited news sources, TV, cable and stuff. One, you can only get one or two. The phones go in and out. You don't have even kids that can be homeschooled or get virtual lessons. So people don't have all the information, and these areas are saturated when we look at one or two places in the United States where we have owners who have bought up all the news channels around these places, Vermont, Wisconsin, all over the place, to keep people in the dark about what's going on.
Bella, thanks a lot for that call. A couple of big points Bella's making there. First, concern maybe in rural communities about change, unwelcome change, and news deserts almost.
Rob, I think those are extremely important points. There is good evidence in political science that when local news declines, people lean into their political party identity. People become more intense in their partisanship. And I think that's exactly what you're seeing around the country. And it is a great concern to see the decline of local news because it feeds into the partisan conflict. It makes people double and triple down on their political party affiliation. To the caller's other point, I think she makes a very important observation. The Democrats want to try to cut into the rural deficit they have by focusing on bread and butter issues like rural broadband and agriculture. And as Tony Evers mentioned in his State of the State, more funding for rural emergency services. But what if this isn't really about bread and butter economic issues? What if this is really more about the culture wars and identity politics and the anxieties associated with a changing America? If that's the case, then I'm not sure the Democrats really have a great answer for what's happening in rural areas. They can certainly try to appeal to rural areas with economic benefits and trying to speak to the economic needs of rural areas. But if that's not what this conflict is actually about, then the Democrats may find their efforts to be unsuccessful.
Bella, thanks for the call. We're talking to Anthony Chergosky, assistant professor of political science at UW La Crosse, looking at why rural and small towns in Wisconsin have been voting more and more for Republican candidates over the years. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about your community? Are you in touch with the local political scene where you live? Do people talk about politics, debate politics, or issues? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We pick up our conversation now with Anthony Chergosky from UW La Crosse, political scientist there, looking at the divide in voting and political partisanship in Wisconsin, urban versus rural, focusing mostly on rural Wisconsin now and a long-term move toward conservative and Republican voting. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Before we go back to our callers, you interviewed Anthony, Lieutenant Governor and U.S. Senate candidate Mandela Barnes on La Crosse Talk Radio WIZM some weeks back about this very topic. Here's a little of what he had to say.
Some rural parts of the state, we may never win back, but if we're able to show up, leading with our values, leading with our vision, making the direct connection with people about those bread and butter issues, those kitchen table issues, if we can take a 60-40 margin to 55-45, then we're well on our way to where we need to be as a party. But it takes some real intentionality for that to happen. You know, we can't just assume that these areas won't vote for us, and we can't just also show up acting like we know everything, because that's not the case at all, and that's the quickest way to lose a vote.
So the case there, hey, maybe Democrats can't win in these rural areas, but they could maybe tip scales closer. Do you have to show up to win, whether you're a Democrat in a rural area or a Republican going to a big city?
I think so, Rob. And I think Mandela Barnes has quite a realistic perspective about the prospects for Democrats in rural areas. The urban-rural divide has become quickly entrenched as a fundamental feature of Wisconsin politics. So the idea that the Democrats can completely flip the urban-rural divide and gain significant ground in rural areas is unrealistic. But if they can move the margins a little bit in their favor in rural areas, then that could be enormously advantageous for them, especially because Democrats are now running up enormous margins in the booming Dane County and Madison area. Plus, they consistently drive up big margins in Milwaukee. So if they can move the margins just a little bit more in their favor in rural areas, then that could bode quite well for Democrats in rural areas. So I think Mandela Barnes viewed it from a realistic perspective about what is and what is not possible for Democrats at this point, given the entrenched nature of the urban-rural divide.
Let's go back to our callers now. Jeff is with us in Milwaukee. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. So the professor was talking about the parties politicizing the urban and rural divide. And the first thing that came to mind for me was the Republican state legislature hamstringing Milwaukee city services, especially Milwaukee public schools. My question, and I'm genuinely asking, I'm not trying to argue, is what would be the comparable example for like urban Democrats trying to affect or interfere with maybe a way of life for rural Republicans?
Anthony?
Well, I think that's a great question, and I think we have to be honest about how Republicans have exploited the urban-rural divide. You see Republicans talk about urban areas in a way that Democrats don't really talk about rural areas. You hear Republicans talk about the values and the way things are done in urban areas. Recently, Senator Ron Johnson made a joking remark about how, you know, maybe they'll find just enough votes in Milwaukee to have him lose his reelection battle. And so Republicans are often dismissive of urban areas. I think when you look at the challenges that both parties have, the Republicans have been quite, overlooking urban areas because they have really doubled and tripled down on their rural base and have not felt the need to really appeal to urban areas. But Rob, that could be a real problem for Republicans because the population of rural areas is declining. So Republicans might be able to squeeze some more votes out of rural areas in the short term. Frankly, I don't think the Democrats have quite even hit bottom yet in rural areas. I think the situation is so dire for Democrats in rural areas that they could still lose some more votes. But if these are not growth areas, and they're not, the population of rural Wisconsin is declining. Young people are leaving and they're not coming back. These are aging communities. So it's not really a long-term viable strategy for Republicans to double and triple down on rural areas. I think they can get by with that in the short term, but I don't know that it's a long-term strategy. And as far as the challenges that Democrats face, as we've talked about, you know, Democrats are approaching this from a bread and butter issues perspective, kind of thinking that they can appeal to the economic interests of rural areas, but that might not be what this urban-rural divide is about at all. And so Democrats might have the wrong diagnosis for their problems in rural areas.
We heard it from a bunch of people on the Ideas Network Facebook page. David writes, maybe the rural population is statistically older. Older people tend to be more conservative. Is that part of the demographic story here, Anthony?
It certainly is. And that's why I think Republicans do have reason to be concerned about their reliance on their rural base, because rural Wisconsin is aging. There are real issues economically in rural areas. In my view, efforts to reverse rural economic and demographic decline have been at best scattershot and at worst just non-existent. So it does have to do with the demographics of these areas. But at the same time, there's no doubt that the urban-rural divide has increased, that Republicans have increased their votes in rural Wisconsin, Democrats have increased their votes in urban Wisconsin. Like we talked about, Rob, now the geographic divide in Wisconsin really overlaps quite neatly with the partisan divide to an extent that wasn't true before. But certainly, you do need to account for the demographics in each of these geographic regions.
Time for one more caller. Jim is with us in Janesville. Jim, hello.
Hi. Yeah, I just wondered if the professor wasn't possibly hitting on a point that he didn't mean to. I think a lot of rural people, including older people and Hispanic people, feel like Democrats talk down to them, like we're the rural, and I think that that's possibly a part of the reason that they're becoming more conservative. And also, what about the Hispanic population in general possibly becoming more conservative? Is that part of the equation as well?
Jim, we don't have thanks for that call. We don't have too much time left, Anthony. That second part, I think, is worth a whole nother conversation. But that idea that rural communities may feel talked down to by Democrats, I know there are some rural Democrats very worried about exactly what Jim brought up there, Anthony.
I think Jim is spot on. I do think that Democrats have a risk of coming across as condescending to rural areas. I do think Democrats need to refigure how they will communicate with rural areas, and they need to have a better understanding of why they are losing ground in rural areas. So I think the caller is absolutely correct.
Jim, thanks for calling in. And Anthony, thanks for joining us again. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
That's Anthony Chergosky, assistant professor of political science at UW-La Crosse. We talked to him today about the growth of Republican support in rural areas and small towns in Wisconsin, how the parties are responding to changes in population growth and voter support. There's still time for you to share your thoughts, maybe what you're seeing in your own community, especially if you are in a small town or rural part of the state. Especially love to hear from you on this, because we're talking about you. You can let us know over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. That's the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR or email ideas@wpr.org.